state New York hospitals. DuPois said the maternity ward is seeing more patients admitted with co-occurring illnesses. And I quote, "I love the fact that we take care of such high-risk patients, but it gets really scary when you're afraid to end your shift and go home because you know there's not enough nurses to go around," end quote.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Metro North Railroad President Catherine Rinaldi said September 23rd that full positive train control is currently in use between Croton Harmon and Poughkeepsie. Positive train control is a system for improving railway safety. The 2013 Metro North derailment killed four people after the engineer headed into a curve at excessive speed, something the PTC system is designed to prevent. Since then, newspapers have run a story annually about how implementation of the system has been delayed. Now, 6 years later, it is installed below Poughkeepsie. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 69 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 48. And on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 73 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low of around 55. So there you have your weather update. Brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, September 26th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Friday, September 27th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi will perform. The show will air on 90.7 FM from 9 to 10 p.m., then continue online at WGXC.org. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Saturday, September 28th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Camp St. Helene will perform. Wesley Harper opens the show and DJ Matt Wagner performs later. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. The show will air on 90.7 FM until 10 p.m., then continue online until 2 a.m. at WGXC.org. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Tuesday, September 24th, learn to express yourself in real-life situations and develop Spanish language skills for work, travel, or just for fun. Lessons include grammar and vocabulary, as well as an introduction to arts and culture from different countries. This free program emphasizes conversational Spanish skills in a fun and friendly class. Visit HudsonAreaLibrary.org for all available class times and registration. Whether you photograph with a phone, a disposable camera, or the priciest SLR to be found, all are more than welcome to the Columbia County Photo Club meeting at the Greenport Town Hall from 6 to 8 p.m. On Wednesday, September 25th, this month's Hudson Area Library General Reading Book Group book is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. The group covers fiction and nonfiction and is facilitated by longtime member of the Friends of the Hudson Area Library, Sharon Getty. Books for the group are all available for borrowing through the Mid-Hudson Library System, meeting held from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Workshop meeting of the Greene County Legislature will be held starting at 6 p.m. in the caucus room. On Thursday, September 26th, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil, this class, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited at programs at HudsonAreaLibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance with webcasts at WGXC.org and Wayfarm.org. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints, starting at 9 p.m. The ensemble will play, distort, improvise around, and sometimes ignore these fragments. Using hand signals, body movements, and the occasional odd glare, Previtt conducts the musicians through the maze, taking a different path every night. On Friday, September 27th, the First Reformed Church of Catskill on Main Street will be holding their Fall Rummage Sale on Friday, September 27th from 9 to 5 and Saturday, September 28th from 9 to 1. The Catskill Farmers Market runs from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Catskill Community Center on Main Street. Learn to safely pickle and keep food fresh up to 18 months using a boil water canner. This is a hands-on class where participants will end up preparing a pickled product to take home. The course will be held at the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties Extension Education Center on Route 66 in Hudson from 6 to 8 p.m. Register at ccecolumbiagreen.org or call 518-622-9820, extension 100. Spirit Family Reunion and Joanna Sternberg perform at BSP Kingston starting at 8 p.m. Independent artist and musician of guitar and percussion Lee performs at the Hudson Underground on Warren Street at 8 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Next, we have these reports.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hello, everyone! Everyone make some noise, please! My name is Audrey Din, and I, along Sophie and Meher and Natalie Penna, have worked together to organize this strike today as part of a chapter of a global movement called Fridays for Future, or U.S. Youth Climate Strike. A couple things I want to mention before we start, that this is a carry-in, carry-out park, so make sure to take all your trash with you or dispose of it appropriately. So yeah, we're going to get started with the rally, everybody. I was in middle school when I first learned about something called climate change. I remember wondering why, if there's something so disastrous that it threatened humanity's existence, why wasn't anything being done? Why do we still allow greenhouse gases to be emitted into the atmosphere, just so huge corporations that account for 71% of these emissions can continue to make unimaginable amounts of money? For a long time, we thought, it's okay, it's in the far future, it won't ever affect us. But now, the science is saying differently. We have just 11 years to transform our energy system, reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, and prevent the worst effects of climate change. We are striking because our world leaders have yet to acknowledge, prioritize, or properly address our climate crisis. We are striking because marginalized communities across our nation, especially communities of color, disabled communities, and low-income communities, are already disproportionately impacted by climate change. More than half of the 9 million people living near hazardous waste sites are people of color, and Black Americans are 3 times more likely to die of air pollutants. Indigenous people have been fighting for the environment decades before even we did. Greta Thunberg said, "You say you love your children above all else, but you're stealing their future in front of their very eyes." It has become very evident that our politicians and world leaders do not care about their children. We are striking because if the social order is disrupted by our refusal to attend school, then the system is forced to face the climate crisis and enact change. Throughout history, the youth have been on the front lines of every movement fighting for justice, and will do it again for the determining factor, an issue of our generation. Thank you. Speaker is Sophie Swartz East. She's a climate activist from Avro Park High School.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sophie Schwartz-Eise. I'm 16, just starting my junior year of high school. And like all of you and other youths across the world, I know it's probably inevitable that we will ultimately suffer due to the consequences of climate change. That is, if we do not change course soon. Let me paint a picture for you all of our possible future. The world is gray, huge and unpredictable storms damage nations around the world on a regular basis. There's constant extreme heat in some places, making them uninhabitable. The heat causes mass migration from one area to another. People are on the move, looking for new places to live where food can still be grown. Many animals we've come to know as being part of this living planet are now gone. There are already some examples of this shifting. Hurricane Dorian recently destroyed the Bahamas. It was one of the most powerful Atlantic hurricanes on record, signifying that climate change will bring about slower moving and more intense hurricanes than we've seen before. Did you know that the Amazon rainforest is one of the world's best defenses against climate change because it takes on 1/4 of the world's CO2? Well, it's still burning because of the extreme droughts in South America, which are also directly linked back to climate change. The climate crisis is the biggest threat that we on this earth are currently facing, and it will continue to get worse for the rest of time that this planet exists if we continue down our current path. Many of you may have seen the digitally edited photos which depict what different cities or areas of the world will look like by the end of the century. Since 1900, our sea levels have risen 16 to 21 centimeters, and with global warming, new studies reveal an accelerating rise. I recently read a study that concluded that if all of the Earth's ice melted, ocean levels would rise 216 feet. The rising of sea levels would cause storm surge flooding, coastal erosion, and changes in water quality, which will ruin the lives of millions of people around the world. What will happen to our coastal cities when sea levels rise? Will places like Manhattan be wiped off the map completely? What will happen to the people living in the many low-lying areas across the planet? This is one of the greatest injustices the people of the world will face, and everyone will be affected. It doesn't matter if your country is poor and underdeveloped, or if it is wealthy. You will not be able to escape the prison of climate change. Now, to be fair, we don't all contribute to the problem equally, and those who have contributed the least, like those from low-income, marginalized communities who live more simply, buy less, and don't drive cars, and the youth who haven't been on the planet long enough to make their own decisions about how they live, they will be the ones who suffer the most in the future. Essentials to life, such as air and water, are being destroyed by pollution and climate change, an issue that has never been treated as a crisis before. It has been ignored for so long, and leaders around the world have gotten away without doing anything to change it. But we will not let them. What will happen to humanity? The answer to this question in one word: catastrophe. I think I speak for all of us when I say that we need action. All of us, the youth and the adults together, need to take responsibility for our actions and the consequences that those actions have on our environment every single day. We need politicians, families, individuals, huge conglomerates, and even tiny companies, everyone, to do their part in saving our lives and this planet. It is not a choice. There is no gray area. Everyone needs to look at the big picture and not focus on the short-term economic gains and comforts we can enjoy now when they put our futures at risk. Fighting for our planet is not simply about passion for activism. It is now truly a fight to live and a desperate desire for a future. My future and others is being stolen away from us right under our noses. A clean environment is a fundamental right, and all the science points to one conclusion, that the activities that we as a society take part in are now increasing the emissions of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere at a seriously alarming rate. We need laws that force clean energy production, regulate emissions, and support responsible farming with the long-term goal of a healthy, sustainable world for everyone, no matter where they live and how much money they have. We need to work together to change the harsh reality I painted for you earlier of that gray, storm-filled world to one that is verdant and where people everywhere are thriving. Because it is time that everyone wake up and smell the CO2. Let's do something now!
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Jazz legend Sonny Rollins used to live in Germantown. Now he's on the other side of the river in Woodstock. Here's Echo Side Blues from Sonny Rollins. Thank you.
Come on, people, now smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
WGXC 90.7 FM. Acre Hudson, listener-supported radio in Green and Columbia counties.
Here is a programming preview of the feature shows coming up on WGXC 90.7 FM on Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Tune in to Overlooked at 12.05 p.m. with Rob Saver. In this broadcast, Rob aims to showcase some of the ways jazz musicians have been influenced by heavy metal. Here to Go is on at 2 p.m. with Ian Hawkins, a monthly dispatch of music and sound wrapped around a theme. This month, HTG number 4. Then at 3 p.m., Patrick McGinley hosts Framework, 8 movements produced in Iceland by Martin P. Eccles. And at 7 p.m., Chad Weckler discusses creative and community with Michael Chemies on The Art of the Hudson Valley. And finally, at 8 p.m., Mostly Single, hosted by Michael Wilde. To view the full programming schedule, visit our website, wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Green and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Christine Boak of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Green and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, September 24, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. On the rundown today, a pair of reports from across the nation concerning child poverty, plus the battle over auto emission standards gears up. Topping our news, a new report shows 11% or 459,000 of Florida's children live in neighborhoods with concentrated poverty.
Florida is showing modest improvements, dropping 4 percentage points from its all-time high in 2014 of 15%. It's among 29 states and the District of Columbia that have shown improvements, with the number of kids living in extreme poverty, according to the latest Kids Count data snapshot by the Annie E. Casey Foundation. However, Noreen Dollard with Florida Kids Count says children of color are disproportionately impacted.
1 in 10 in Florida, we have 4 million kids. It's a lot of children. And if you're a child of color, the story is even worse. There's more children, particularly African-American children, living in areas of concentrated poverty than their white counterparts.
Concentrated poverty is when 30% or more of the population is living in poverty. Experts say those conditions pose great risks to child development. Dollard says state leaders should focus on policies that help families to help themselves, such as expanding affordable housing options and eliminating housing discrimination. Scott Spencer with the Casey Foundation says having just one of the 12% of all children in the United States that are currently living in unhealthy conditions is unacceptable. He says these areas don't provide access to healthy food, quality education, or medical care. For Public News Service, I'm Tramell Gomes.
That report showed states in the South and the West tend to have high rates of children living in concentrated poverty. Meantime, for perspective from Vermont, we turn to Mary Sherman.
Economic expansion after the Great Recession of 2008 has done little to get Vermont kids out of high poverty neighborhoods, according to a new report. The Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count data snapshot found Vermont's rate of children living in concentrated poverty remained at 2% across two time periods, between 2008 and 2012, and between 2013 and 2017. Sarah Teal with Voices for Vermont Children explains that's roughly 2,000 children living in neighborhoods where 30% or more of the population is impoverished.
It's usually a reflection of the kind of resources and civic infrastructure that's available to support kids growing up in a way that supports their success.
About 8.5 million children in the U.S. live in high poverty neighborhoods, about 12%.
The report does offer some solutions to lift struggling families out of poverty. Ideas include property ownership models that preserve affordable housing and ensuring all neighborhoods have quality schools. This is PNS. Now, an update on a story we have been following for you. Concern over air quality, climate change, and local control is causing officials in states like Arizona and others to speak out against an EPA proposal to cut emission standards.
The plan would prevent states from requiring tougher pollution controls on cars and trucks. Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallegos, a member of the group Climate Mayors, says she and other Arizona mayors want clean air and don't want the federal government to tell them what to do.
We want to see cities lead the way on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Phoenix is number one in terms of solar installed on city property. We are about to complete a retrofit of all of the light bulbs in the city of Phoenix streetlight to LEDs, so much lower energy use, greener technology.
The Trump administration claims higher emissions will lower the price of new cars and boost sales, though several major car makers, including Ford, Volkswagen, and BMW, say they will continue to meet the high standards. The federal government is revoking a waiver that allowed California and 13 other states, plus Washington, D.C., to enact higher tailpipe emission standards. Paul Billings with the American Lung Association says vehicle emissions have been linked to higher rates of lung cancer, asthma, and premature death.
This is really an outrageous attack on the Clean Air Act. For more than 50 years, California has had the authority to set more protective standards, and it is really a move in the exact wrong direction.
Gallego says while cities can do much to fight climate change, she believes it will ultimately be solved through the determination of America's youth. For Public News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
That new EPA rule will go into effect in about 2 months, but will likely be challenged in the courts. Finally, our Nadia Ramlagan reports September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. Advocates say Tennessee has boosted efforts to improve access to mental health services in all of its 95 counties.
Earlier this year, Governor Lee authorized a funding increase for the state's Suicide Prevention Network to expand its staff as suicide deaths continue to rise among Tennesseans. The executive director of the network, Scott Ridgway, says in nearly all cases, suicide can be traced to undiagnosed or untreated depression, among other factors.
Suicide is a very complex issue. No one dies for one reason. It's usually a combination of a lot of different reasons, and that we sometimes just do not know what that person's going through.
Each day, three Tennesseans on average choose to end their lives, and suicide now surpasses car accidents as a leading cause of death in the state. Ridgway points out that depression and suicide affect people regardless of race, ethnicity, or economic status.
According to the latest Status of Suicide report, the largest increase in Tennessee in suicides occurred among teenagers. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about anything you hear here. Jason Subic reports for the Daily Gazette that Democrat Michelle Hinchey officially announces her political campaign for the 46th State Senate District in Kingston September 23rd. Hinchey is daughter of long-serving Congressperson Maurice Hinchey and hopes to challenge incumbent State Senator George Amador, a Republican from Rotterdam. Previously, Woodstock resident Jeff Collins says he is also running for the Democratic nomination to take on Amador. The 46th Senate District includes all of Montgomery and Greene counties and parts of Albany, Schenectady, and Ulster counties. The district contains 72,370 registered Democrats, 55,897 registered Republicans, and 6,164 registered conservatives, 907 registered with the Working Families Party, 834 registered Green Party members, 11,965 Independence Party members, and 55,507 registered voters with no party affiliation. Inchi's father served in Congress from 1993 to 2013 and died in 2017. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette. Jeffrey C. Mays reports in the New York Times that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio dropped his campaign to win the Democratic nomination for president. Once there were four New Yorkers running for president. But New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand ended her campaign recently. That leaves Andrew Yang from Schenectady trying to win the Democratic nomination, and Donald Trump, who is expected to win the Republican nomination again. Read more about this story in the New York Times. Melanie Lakozovic reports for Columbia Green Media that the Germantown School District broke ground September 19th at the high school on an $11.3 million capital project. The school is now working on a new auditorium, renovated sports fields, and other improvements. Quote, the project, which is anticipated to be completed in late 2020, will provide the district students with a new auditorium, band chorus room, set design room, keyboard lab, elementary physical education office and storage, bathroom with playground access, and an OTPT room, unquote, District Superintendent Susan Brown said. The construction is moving some sports activities. The town of Claremont is letting the district use its new soccer field at Hedling Park on Route 9, and the Germantown is also giving students access to Palatine Park for practices and games. Indoor sports won't be affected by construction, and school officials are still working on where baseball and softball will go in the spring. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. David Lee reports in the Columbia paper that the bridge over the Kinderhook Creek on Route 203 is now known as the Roger K. Mazel Memorial Bridge. Mazel was a Valencia resident killed in Vietnam during the U.S. war there. Mazel left Ichabod Crane High School in 1968 during his senior year, joined the Army, and was a member of Company D, 20th Battalion, 35th Infantry, 4th Division. He was killed March 7, 1969, and received the Purple Heart, the Vietnam Cross of Gallantry, and other medals. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org for more information about all these stories, complete listings of local events, and audio recordings of local town meetings at wavefarm.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather. It is day two of the fall checklist. Get your pipes cleaned. Make sure you plan to drain your fountains, sprinklers, hoses, and their spigots. Make sure your chimneys are swept and all exhaust pipes, including your dryer, are checked. It may also be time to change filters in things like furnaces and humidifiers. Today will show little fluctuation in temperature. Starting at 63 degrees, it will reach 70 at 2 p.m., then immediately begin dropping down to the low 50s overnight. Bringing some patchy fog tomorrow morning before temps reach the low 70s by 2 p.m. Over on the river, we see high tides will be at 11:25 a.m. and at 11:38 p.m. Low tides will be at 6:04 a.m. and at 6:05 p.m. Water temperature will be 71 degrees. Looking way up, we see the coronal hole that created stateside auroras on September 1st is spinning back to hit us again. G2 class geomagnetic storms will be possible on September 27th. Solar wind speeds are expected to be over 700 kilometers per second. Currently, the solar wind speed is only 307 kilometers per second at 3.3 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Hi, this is Linda Tripp, 4-H educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. Visit the Catterskill Gallery at Columbia Greene Community College in October to view the 4-H art exhibit showcasing block prints from over 75 4-H club members. Join us for the opening reception on Thursday, October 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dan and Mary Udell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is WGXC's Congressional Report, tracking the votes, words, and actions of Representative Antonio Delgado, Democrat from Rhinebeck, representing the 19th Congressional District, and Paul Tonko, a Democrat from Amsterdam, from the 20th Congressional District. The 538.com website reports that, so far, the first term Congressperson Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 4.3% of the time. Since Democrats took over the House of Representatives, Tonko also votes with Trump's positions 2.2% of the time. In the previous congressional session, Tonko voted with Trump 22.6% of the time. Tonko has announced he is in favor of impeaching Donald Trump. Delgado has not.
David Lombano reports at Capitol Confidential that both Antonio Delgado, a Democrat, and Elise Stefanik, a Republican, signed on to a letter September 6 condemning a New York City plan to ban flavored milk in New York City schools. The federal lawmakers wrote, and I quote, "We strongly urge you to continue offering children the choice of flavored milk each and every day in New York City schools," end quote. They also say there are bipartisan bills in Congress currently meant to expand flavored milk options in school cafeterias. Read more about this story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Emil Munson reports in the Albany Times Union that David Ross, the assistant administrator for the EPA's Office of Water, refused to name a federal maximum contaminant level for PFAS and PFOAS at a U.S. House of Representatives committee meeting September 18th. Representative Antonio Delgado at the hearing said, and I quote, "You're suggesting that you could go through this whole process and ultimately not land on a MCL. You want folks all across this country to continue to wait and wait and wait on the off chance that maybe we'll get a point where you just might have enough information to issue an MCL. Is that what you're telling me?" End quote. Delgado's 19th congressional district includes Hoosick Falls in Rensselaer County, where PFOA contamination has poisoned the drinking water. Delgado and Representative Paul Tonko, who represents the 20th district, including Albany County, are working together on legislation regarding PFAs and PFOAs, and Tonko gets a seat soon at negotiations with the U.S. Senate over the National Defense Authorization Act that includes PFAs provisions. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is also working on legislation that would put PFAS chemicals, including Gen X, on the toxic release inventory list. Ross said, and I quote, "We are moving forward with the regulatory determination process for PFOA and PFAS. We are committed to getting that done by the end of the year, and we're still on schedule," end quote. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
On September 19th, both Tonko and Delgado voted for the latest budget authorization, which passed on party lines 228-197. Quote, "Today I voted for a bipartisan continuing resolution that keeps our government open and ensures that our community health centers, teaching hospitals, and higher education and critical safety net programs remain operational while Congress continues its work toward agreement on a budget," unquote, Delgado said in a statement. Quote, "While this bill avoids another costly and harmful shutdown in the short term, let me be clear, this is no way to govern," unquote. Delgado and Tonko also voted for the Forced Arbitration Injustice Repeal Act, which passed 225-186, with two Democrats and two Republicans switching sides on a vote that otherwise followed party lines. Paul Tonko does not list any public events this week on his website. Antonio Delgado lists one future event on his website this week. He's bringing FCC Commissioner Jeffrey Starks for a congressional field hearing on rural broadband at 1 p.m. October 4th in the Columbia Greene Community College Arts Center. This has been the WGXC Congressional Report. Go online to the WGXC Newsroom for more information at wgxc.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hey, Fatima.
Thank you for having me.
Listen.
It's great to be here.
So you're doing a fundraiser. Tell my listeners, what exactly is human trafficking?
Human trafficking encompasses a lot of things, but generally speaking, it's the exchange of human labor, forced human labor. Usually it could be sexually trafficked, sexual labor. It could also be, someone working out on the farm. It comes in many different forms, but it's the, exploitation of humans, generally speaking.
So how did you get involved in this area of help?
Well, I've always cared about young women and children and whatever affects them. So believe it or not, what got me involved in human trafficking and finding ways to assist the fight against it is a movie called Trade. Several years ago, I saw a movie called Trade that came out maybe 2007. I watched this movie, and it took you through the lives of these two young women. One came from Mexico, one came from Russia, and they were trafficked into the U.S. through different means. And the movie just shed light on the reality of the subject. I did not really realize that this was a real issue, that humans were being enslaved this way and forced this way. And I was so upset after I watched this movie that I could not talk to another human being for about 2 hours. I was that angry. I just said, nope, I'm not talking to anybody because I needed to control my emotions because I care about young women and children so much. So fast forward to, a year or so later when I started my own business, I said, what can I do to help the subject? So I decided to make helping this subject a part of my business model. And that's why in my own business, I donate a portion of every single sale to help human trafficking victims. And now as far as the fundraiser goes, fast forward 2 years later, I am an avid salsa dancer. And this idea actually came about approximately 2 years ago. And I put it on the back burner because I knew that then wasn't the time. I said, how can I find a way to raise money for the people who are really doing the hard work of helping these trafficked victims? And so I decided to come up with a dance, my passion for salsa dancing, my passion for dancing, and find a way to raise money for the people who are really already helping the subject.
So salsa dancing to support your passion for eliminating or removing human trafficking.
Yes. So what I'm doing is I'm raising money for two different organizations. And these two different organizations fight human trafficking in two completely different ways. One of them is Kinship United. They help the subject on a worldwide scale. They have orphanages and homes all over the world. Cambodia, India, Kenya, Honduras, just Dominican Republic, just all over the world. And they do more than just help human trafficking victims. They help orphans. They do a lot of things. But one of the things that I really love that they do is they take children off the street who are the target market of these traffickers. Mm. And they combat, they really are combating human trafficking just by not making them available for the traffickers. Then when they do get those who have been trafficked, they help to heal them. It's a Christian organization, so they help them spiritually. They help to give them education. They put food on the table. They put clothes on their back. They help them to heal emotionally. They help the entire person. So I believe very strongly in what they do, and I love the fact that I'm able to contribute towards that. And the other organization I'm raising money for is Eyes Wide Open, which is based right here out of Schenectady. Now, most people don't realize this, but human trafficking is actually a really big area, a really big issue in the Capital Region. It's not just something that's happening in a third world country. It is happening down the street from whoever you are who's listening. It's happening down the street from you, and it's happening to American children. So Eyes Wide Open, what they do is they are they take, for their particular program, they take women who already have been trafficked, that is those who actually make it to adulthood. They take those women and they give them the services that they need. Now, Eyes Wide Open specifically helps women that are 18 and over because child services aren't available to them. So they have no services really available to them for their nuanced needs. So I love the fact of what they do. They take these women and try to change their lives and get them to think differently so that they can become productive members of society. That is a very easy phrase to say, but it is so, so hard to actually do. The hardest thing in the world to change is the mind. And to get these young women to realize that they are worth more than just you know, being sold and used, and that they're actually, they have more value than that, they actually have more talent than that, is a hard thing. And it's very hard to get them to not to go back out into it.
So Fatima, how does someone, a woman or a young girl, what are some of the warning signs that the person that's approaching you, be it a male or a female, might be trying to entice you into human trafficking?
That is a really good question. There's many ways, but with limited time, I'll tell you one of the main ways, pimps. What pimps, and pimps aren't always what we think they look like in the movies. That's movies for Hollywood, for entertainment. Real pimps look, sometimes they wear three-piece suits. Sometimes they have their hat on backwards. Sometimes they might be wearing a jogging suit and jogging pants and a t-shirt. What they do is they walk up and they just try to schmooze you. It's what they do is they try to walk up to a woman and, oh, how you doing? Let me buy you something. They know how to target. They know how to target women who don't know who they are yet. And so you know what the pimps do? If they, you don't know your value, they're going to give you one. It'll be far less than you're worth. So what they do is they try to smooze you. And at first, they don't do all the beatings and all the stuff that you hear about. They don't start off that way. They end up that way. They start off by sweet-talking you, pulling you in, and making you think that they're your lover and that you're doing something for them because you should care about them.
So prostitution is a form of human trafficking.
Absolutely. It is very often. Now, there's some fuzzy lines there. So I say absolutely, and I'm speaking in general terms, because there are certain forms of prostitution that people do where they weren't necessarily trafficked, but that's like, you know, 3%. And I'm making up that number, but I'm just saying the as far as the percentage, as far as the amount goes. But most of the women that you see on the street that we consider crack hoes and prostitutes, I would say probably 80% of them started off being trafficked at probably 12 or 13. It's more prolific than we think.
And what about children? So if a child is not you're necessarily being prostituted on the street, how do they draw children into human trafficking?
Well, the thing is, they don't start off prostituting them on the street. They start off by getting them in. What I mean by that is that whether it's they meet them in the mall, whether they meet them in the parking lot, wherever children are, they'll find you walking down the street.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
You are failing us! But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you.
16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg gives an impassioned address to world leaders at the UN Climate Action Summit. But the world's largest greenhouse gas emitters make few new commitments to address the climate crisis. President Trump attended the summit for just 14 minutes. We speak to the prize-winning writer Ta-Nehisi Coates about slavery, the power of memory, and reparations. His first novel is out today.
The Water Dance is the story of Hiram Walker, who is an enslaved African-American who is the son of a slave master. And the child of a woman who that slave master in turn sold off. He wants what I think most, you know, enslaved people wanted, what 4 million enslaved people in 1861 and most, and that's freedom.
Ta-Nehisi Coates on The Water Dancer. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The UN Climate Action Summit kicked off in New York Monday with world leaders calling for action to prevent apocalyptic climate change. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said his generation had, quote, failed in its responsibility to protect our planet. 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg fought back tears as she gave an impassioned address.
You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
President Trump later mocked the now world-renowned activist on Twitter, writing, quote, "She seems like a very happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future. So nice to see," he said. Meanwhile, youth climate activists filed an official complaint under the Convention on the Rights of the Child, calling on world leaders to protect future generations from climate catastrophe. We'll have more on the historic action and what took place at the summit yesterday after headlines. President Trump made a brief and unexpected stop at the UN Climate Action Summit before moving to a UN session on religious freedom, where he committed $25 million to, quote, protect religious freedom, religious sites and relics, unquote. Meanwhile, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar urged world leaders at the UN General Assembly to cut the term reproductive health and rights when speaking about health care. Azar said these, quote, ambiguous terms can help, quote, promote practices like abortion. The Washington Post reporting President Trump ordered a hold on $400 million in military aid to Ukraine about 1 week before he spoke to the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and pressured him to investigate Joe Biden's son and his business interests in Ukraine. This according to three top administration officials. Trump has acknowledged discussing Joe Biden and his son Hunter with the Ukrainian president, but insists there was no quid pro quo. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy said Monday Zelensky told him that he believed the aid was cut off because he refused to launch such an investigation. Senator Murphy said, quote, "There's an implicit threat in every demand that a United States president makes of a foreign power." House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is now reportedly consulting with Democratic lawmakers on whether to impeach Trump over the mounting scandal. The British Supreme Court has ruled that Prime Minister Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament is unlawful. Brenda Hale, head of the British Supreme Court, said the prorogation was not justified and has no effect. It's not yet known what action Boris Johnson, who's in New York for the UN General Assembly, will take in response to the historic ruling. Britain, France and Germany said in a joint statement Monday Iran is responsible for attacks on Saudi oil facilities earlier this month. Last week, Saudi Arabia also said the attacks were, quote, unquestionably sponsored by Iran. Iran has denied they were responsible for the attacks, which have been claimed by Yemen's Houthi rebels. Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, said in an interview Sunday he's not confident that Iran and the U.S. would be able to avoid war, but that Iran would not be the one to start it. Trump is expected to address Iran during his statement at the U.N. today. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, who's rejected the possibility of talks with the U.S., is set to speak Wednesday. On Monday, Democracy Now!
spoke with the Iraqi president, Barham Saleh, at the UN about escalating tensions in the region.
Mr. President, a quick question about the possibility of Saudi Arabian war with Iran and the U.S.
We hope to avert a war. The last thing the region needs is another war.
In Afghanistan, at least 40 civilians were killed by U.S. and Afghan forces as they attended a wedding Sunday evening. The civilians are believed to have been caught in the crossfire of a raid on a Taliban hideout. At least 22 members of the Taliban were also killed and 14 arrested in the operation, according to the Afghan Ministry of Defense. The attack came after the U.S. killed at least 30 farmers in a drone attack in eastern Afghanistan last week and as the country prepares for presidential elections on Saturday. In Haiti, an Associated Press photojournalist was shot in the face when a senator opened fire on a crowd of protesters outside of Parliament Monday. Charide Nalio was wounded but survived the shooting. A security guard was also injured. Haitian Senator Jean-Marie Ralph Fetier later claimed he drew the gun in self-defense. The protest came as the government of President Jovenel Moïse was attempting to push through the confirmation of a new prime minister, Fritz William Michel. Anti-government protests have rocked Haiti for months, calling on the president to step down over accusations of corruption and mismanagement of Haiti's economy. In China, drone footage posted on YouTube appears to show police leading hundreds of blindfolded and shackled Uyghur or other minority prisoners at a train station in Xinjiang. The disturbing video shows blindfolded men with shaved heads sitting in rows on the ground before being led away by police. China's been accused of cultural genocide against the Uyghur population. Over 1 million ethnic Uyghur Muslims and other Muslim minorities are believed to be imprisoned in internment camps and countless children separated from their families. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and rival candidate Benny Gantz are in negotiations over a proposed power-sharing deal. President Reuven Rivlin pushed for a unity government and talks with involved parties after neither leader's party was able to secure a victory in last week's elections. Negotiations are now focused on who will lead the government first, according to far-right former defense minister Avigdor Lieberman. Benny Gantz had previously rejected a unity government with Netanyahu, who is facing indictments over three corruption cases. Back in the U.S., the FBI arrested an active-duty soldier who's suspected of sharing online instructions on how to build bombs and discuss killing anti-fascist activists, as well as bombing a news network, reportedly CNN. 24-year-old Jarrett William Smith also named presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke as a possible target. Smith also posted online about wanting to fight for a far-right group in Ukraine, according to prosecutors. He could face up to 20 years in prison if convicted. And investigators say the Federal Aviation Administration misled Congress about safety inspections for the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. Safety inspectors charged with training requirements for 737 pilots were underqualified, according to the investigation, which arose from a whistleblower complaint. Two Boeing 737 MAX airplanes, Indonesia's Lion Air Flight 610 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, crashed 5 months apart, killing all 346 people on board. On Monday, Boeing announced it'll begin paying out $50 million in financial assistance to the families of the victims of the two crashes. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!